Visible Garment Podcast, where we talk about spiritual principles, knitting, and the politics of ethical behavior. Episode 8, Generosity. Today you'll be scared half to death when I tell you to give it all away. You'll be challenged to be a stitch in a larger fabric of life. You'll hear about a man who did give it all away, or so he said. You'll get a message from a twisted sister. And our surprise ending, yep, you guessed it, I found a song called Give It All Away. I'm sitting here today thinking about generosity, and I'm looking out the window of my beautiful little Austin apartment, and I'm watching these deer as they forage in my backyard. Now, how often do you get to say forage anyway? But there are deer, there are actual deer foraging in my backyard. And I'm thinking about how deer are really kind of a great metaphor for the principle of generosity, because they are so generous, especially in the Native American days when the deer and the buffalo went down. The natives used everything. They used the meat, they used the skin, they used the bones, they used the sinew. Everything was given at the point of death for a deer. Well, these deer are not at the point of death, and they're not even afraid that they're going to be shot in my backyard, so they're foraging happily. They make me think of that lyric from Bobby McGee, "Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose." And that's what I want to talk about today in terms of the principle of generosity. To be truly generous is to realize that you have nothing to lose. And it's sort of a paradox, it's sort of an oxymoron, because we think that we have to hold on to things, and then the generosity part is that we give things out, you know, money or our attention or our time or our friendship. We give it out in little bitty dollops so that we won't lose everything. But what I'm here today to tell you is that in your invisible garment pattern, the imperative is that you are to give away everything. You are here to give away whatever your primary principle is. So whether generosity is in your invisible garment pattern or not, you know, let's say your primary principle is intelligence, then what you are here to do is give away intelligence. So generosity is an implied principle in everyone's chart. This week, one of my friends, Jennifer Starr, introduced me via the internet, of course, to a woman named Nancy Dannison. Jennifer sent me a link to an interview with Nancy, and I was intrigued because she had, in a near-death experience, come back into life with much of the same information that I received from the angels that I explained at the beginning of the invisible garment. As you know, as a result of this conversation that I had with the angels, I often say that your only responsibility to life is to be, not to do. We are here as beings, not doings. And I've recognized over the years that those words are very frustrating to people, because none of us really knows how to just be. Well, Nancy's way of wording it is that we are here simply to gather experience for Source. We were created as an instrument through which Source can have the physical experience of thought. So with that slight change of verbiage, suddenly everything that you do becomes a part of your beingness. In other words, does that make sense? Your doing is your contribution to Source. From that perspective, your whole life is about giving. You, with every thought, with every action, are giving to Source. You are contributing to the cosmic lexicon of experience. So even your taking is a giving, because it's a giving of the experience of taking. Even your acquisitive nature is giving. Even as you amass a fortune, or you just amass a pile of stuff, you are giving. Generosity is playing itself through you. I'll put a link to Nancy's interview in the show notes today if you would like to actually hear that interview and hear more from her. Generosity is actually a founding principle. All the ascending principles are. But generosity becomes one that is unavoidable. It's involuntary. You are here to give back to life. You don't have any choice about it. That's what you do. Your beingness is that doingness. My challenge to you this week is to bring that givingness to consciousness. What kind of giving do you want to contribute to the collective pool of experience? What do you want Source to, in quotes, know as a result of your having been alive? What possibilities are before you that could possibly bring life itself to a new level of experience? In The Invisible Garment, I discussed generosity as a balance of giving and receiving, and for your own well-being, it must be that. You don't serve yourself or life very well by being a doormat or being a slave or just being a doer. But after you've developed a healthy understanding of the difference between giving and being used by others' greed, it's time to take the next step and realize that your real goal is to give it all away. How scary is that? Well, it's not that scary. Let's say your primary principle is love. That tells us that your only job in this incarnation is to give away all the love that you have to give. Giving love. That's it. On your dying day, you want to be able to say, I gave it all away. I gave love with every breath. That was my contribution to Source's giant cosmic soup of experience. The giving of all of myself is what my life was about. No matter what your principles, generosity in its highest form demands that you give them away. That's really all that you have to do. Now it's time to talk about knitting. You know how I love to talk about knitting. And you're going to be very proud of me because this week I actually did my own assignment. Last week I assigned you the knitting job of knitting a Mobius scarf or knitting a Mobius shawl. Well, I did it. I knit the most fabulous Mobius shawl ever this week as a gift for my sister. I found this pattern on the internet, like you do, and I ordered it. The designer responded. Her name is Lynn Vogel. I didn't recognize her name at first, but I soon realized that she is the Lynn Vogel that wrote the Twisted Sister sock book that I love so much. So anyway, we started up an email conversation while I was knitting her pattern. The great thing about this pattern is that it includes all kinds of knitting, regular stockinette stitches, lace stitches, there's even a little crochet at the end. It demands math, believe me. I got caught in the math a couple of times. But it also demands just plain careful counting. So after you've done the math, you just have to count to 11, and that's basically it. Which is good because that makes it just monotonous enough that you can watch TV or think or sing or listen to a podcast or, you know, double task in some way. Talk on the phone while you're doing it. Anyway, I'll put a link to this pattern up in the show notes this week. So as I was knitting this never-ending, has-no-beginning, has-no-end Mobius strip, I became acutely aware of how each stitch holds its own space. It gives away to the stitches on either side, and it simultaneously holds the entire vertical row in its place. It holds its own space, and yet it constantly gives. That is a beautiful metaphor for the principle of generosity. I started thinking of myself as a stitch in a big collective garment. This long string of yarn could be seen as my family lineage, or of all of my knitting ancestors, or of my sisterhood of dreamers going back to time before time, or of my friends with whom I do my daily dance. But whatever the thread, the fact is that if I hold my own stitch space impeccably, the whole garment is stronger and more perfect. And if I am flexible as a stitch, the whole garment is flexible and it can flow. It doesn't matter whether I'm an important stitch, because in the big schema of a garment, all stitches are important. In lace, the yarn over stitch is vital because it puts the holes in the right place to create the lace. In stockinette, every stitch must be perfectly in line, or the flaw becomes garishly obvious. And yet, there are times when a dropped stitch becomes a beautiful part of a design. Have you ever knit a clapotis? A clapotis is a scarf shawl, apparently one of the most popular designs in the world because it has become sort of an internet viral favorite recently. But it cleverly uses dropped stitches as an integral part of the design. I'll put a link to clapotis, spelled Clapotis, clapotis, in the show notes so you can see. So even if you're a dropped stitch, which is a great metaphor all its own for those of us who feel like we never belonged in the plan of our society in the first place, even if you're a dropped stitch, you become an important stitch. Your gift to the entire garment is that you are the dropped stitch. As a stitch in the collective garment, you must take care of yourself. You must be constantly aware of the needs of all the other stitches around you. You play a role in their success at giving too, by taking care of the fact that you are a perfect stitch. Do you see what I'm saying? By being, you are doing. By being, you are contributing to Source's grab bag of collective experience. In this section called The Politics of Ethical Behavior, I like to talk about what it is when a principle guides or influences your decisions and your choices. So today, what does it look like when generosity guides your decisions? I'm going to tell you a story that I think will take us in a little bit of a different direction than you're expecting. Because one would expect that if generosity guides your decisions, that means you're a philanthropist or that you give a lot. But actually, well, let me tell you the story first. Many years ago, I was privileged to bump into Carlos Castaneda. I had been looking for him ever since college, ever since I read his very first book, The Teachings of Don Juan, A Yaqui Way of Knowledge. But I finally found him, and I began to study with him, to work with him. And I was with him on and off for a couple of years. And he taught me a lot. And he told this story. I want to share the story with you. I can't guarantee that it's true because nobody ever knew for sure whether Carlos was telling the truth. Even the people who were closest to him knew him as a big liar, but they didn't have judgment about lying, so they didn't care. So Carlos was working with this teacher, Don Juan, who was a Yaqui teacher in Mexico. And the teacher finally got very fed up with Carlos because he was just a little arrogant, egomaniacal, rooster strutty sort of guy. And so the teacher said, "You have got to get rid of your stuff. You have too much stuff. You carry a lot of baggage." And Carlos interpreted that to mean literal stuff. So he decided to do something that's really pretty outrageous. Back in Los Angeles, Carlos was known as quite the party boy. And he gave a lot of parties. And that was his giveaway. He gave parties. He was very generous with his money and his time and his energy. And so he called a friend and he said, I want you to give a party. I'm sending you a bunch of money. I want you to call the caterers. I want this to be the best party that has ever been given in Carlos Castaneda's apartment. And at the end of the party, I want you to tell people to take anything they want, anything and everything. By the end of the party, I want the apartment to be empty. If it's not empty, give everything else to Goodwill. So except for the clothes that he had with him on this particular trip to Mexico, Carlos ended up at the end of that party with nothing. And he went back to Don Juan at the time and he said, okay, I did it. Look at me. I gave away everything. I don't have any stuff. I have a couple of changes of clothes. That's it. And Don Juan said, guess what? That's not enough because you're still holding on to your self-image. You now have this new self-image of you as not having any stuff. So Don Juan apparently told Carlos to go live in a crappy motel that had puke green carpet and ugly walls and no light and no TV. And he said, go and live there and don't come back until you're done holding on to what you think of yourself. Only then can I work with you. Interesting story. Now, according to Carlos, the end of the story is he did that and he lost interest in what people thought of him. And that may very well be true. I don't know. He was certainly an unusual author. He didn't demand any attention. Nobody ever saw a picture of him. He never signed books. He didn't go around building an empire around his image of himself. So that part is true. I don't know that all of us need to do that. I don't know that any of us is prepared to do that. I don't think that we have to get rid of all of our stuff, although I have been very busily trying to get rid of my stuff for the last couple of years, and believe me, it is not easy. But metaphorically, we must give away our stuff. Until we are done with what we think of ourselves, and until we are done with worrying about what other people think of us, we can only give selfish experiences to Source. Not that Source judges. Source is more than willing to fold selfish experiences into the recipe. But our own experience of collecting experiences, our own exposure to beingness, can be qualitatively more pleasant if we give away even our addiction to being perceived by others in a certain way. We need to learn to just be the stitch in the collective garment. When you do that, your ethical decisions will be clear. I mentioned Lynn Vogel earlier, the author of the Twisted Sister sock book that I love so much. With her permission, I want to share a little feedback. I had told her that for years before her book was published, my friend Freya and I used to call ourselves the Twisted Sisters. There's a long story behind that, but basically it stems from discovering that we were both knitters and that we loved twisted fibers. That was our passion. We were more excited in a yarn shop than we were in a dress shop. Not to mention that anyone who knew us also knew that we were a little bit twisted in our worldview, so people smiled knowingly when we called each other our twisted sister. So when we discovered Lynn, we laughed that we had dreamed her into being. We saw this book called Twisted Sisters and we said, you know, it was a knitting book called Twisted Sisters. We should have written that book. Clearly, neither of us wrote that book. Clearly, we dreamed Lynn into being. She didn't really exist. She was our dream twisted sister. So these many years later, when I bump into Lynn by ordering one of her patterns, I did share that information with her, and here's what she wrote back. When I was in high school, I knit like a fiend, but one day I noticed that I would hash out my gripes and stresses while I was knitting. Suddenly, I felt as if I had been putting all my negative energy into the fabric. Yikes! This was the first moment when I really understood what mindfulness meant and how important it is. Talk about dreaming things and people into existence. So I started from that moment onward to focus on positive stuff when I knitted. Now knitting is my tool for organizing my thoughts, for putting things in order. All I have to do is start knitting, and things that had me completely overwhelmed start falling into place. Thank you, Lynn, for letting me share that, because that's exactly what I talk about with my friends when I talk about knitting. It becomes a practice. It's like a spiritual practice. It's a way of shutting down the mind so that true mindfulness can experience itself through me. Thanks to all of you who have sent feedback this week. I love that you love these podcasts. I love that I hear from you. I really appreciate you being so supportive and being so encouraging. And please keep it coming. As always, thanks to Kevin Brennan for the music. Be sure to go to his website and purchase his music and check out all the wonderful things that he and his wife Robin do through their company. His website is www.fboo.com. F as in Frank, boo as in boo-boo. And please come to the Turtle Dreamers website. The link for the Generosity newsletter will be in the program notes for this podcast. But while you're at the website, be sure to visit the free dream space and see what we are dreaming into existence this week. Contribute your dreams and add your thoughts and your comments to other people's dreams. All my books and products are also available through the website, so click on the store and check it out. Now, for our surprise ending, can you believe this? I found a song called Give It All Away. And it's by a wonderful band called The Key of Me. Is that just perfect? I mean, it's like this song was written for this podcast. The writer actually gets the principle of generosity, whether he knows it or not. How cool is this?
We rolling?
Yeah, I made it to the top. But I've gone too far now. Don't know if I can stop. It's all a game. I don't believe it anyway. Wait until tomorrow. I'm gonna give it all away. Too many things to bring me down. Fast cars and money. Oh, make it feel good, make it drown. I've gone away, yeah. Gonna give it all away. Can't wait until tomorrow. I'm gonna give it all away. Give it all away. give it all away. I woke up this morning, yeah, with a new song in my hand. And I'm done with all this stuff, go my way instead. Give it all away. Can't wait until tomorrow. Gonna give it all away.
Until next time, sweet dreams.